And one of the special things that we did while we were in Eretz Yisrael, we were a group of Rabbanim who all went together. One of the things that we did was we sat in on Beis Din proceedings. And we watched how the process works, and we were listening to how everything was being handled. So one of the cases that came up while we were there was a very interesting case that they actually told us to leave the room for because they said it's too sensitive of an issue, and they did not want eight rabbis from America being present as this was being discussed. So here's the issue that came up. After they left the room, they invited us back in for the deliberation. So here was the story. The story is that there was a young man who is now 22 or 23 years old. He's married for a year. However, when he was 15, 16, and 17, he was molested by a 60-year-old man. Terrible story. He does not want, for whatever reason, he does not want to press legal charges because he's concerned about the backlash in his community, if he goes to the authorities, I don't know, whatever, that's his cheshbon. That's what he feels is the appropriate choice for now. His wife that he's married to doesn't know about his previous history. However, since he's 17 years old, he's been going for psychological help, and he's been very much helped, and he's improved a lot, but he's going for ongoing counseling ever since he's 17, and now he's 22 or 23. So he wants that for at least for now, he wants that the Beis Din should be mechayev this person to pay for his psychological treatments from the time that he's 17 years old until today. This man was there. He didn't deny being involved in this. However, he says that you have to think about it. At the time that the child was in this relationship with me, he was already over bar mitzvah. And once someone's over bar mitzvah, they're considered to be a bar das. Once you're a bar das, it means you're consensual. So how can you say that I'm obligated and I'm responsible for whatever happened and now that he has psychological damage, it's my fault? Obviously, if he was an adult, so now he's held responsible and it's his problem. So this, to me, is insane. Right? It's completely insane. One thing that we walked out from that week was, you know, these stories that you read that come out from Eretz Yisrael and you think they're made up, they actually happen. They actually happen. Some of the other cases that we saw were completely insane. But this was one of them, and I find it very difficult for the following reason, because any thinking person will agree that that's a ludicrous taina, that can't be true. If he's 60 years old and the kid is 15, 16, obviously he's not a consensual adult, but al pi strict letter of the law, al pi halacha, how do you argue that case? He has a taina that might make sense. So how do you understand this? And I think it's a very good question. And that's what I'd like to try and explore a little bit tonight. It's a little bit of an open-ended question. I think we'll just see a little bit where this comes from. But there is room to argue that perhaps even once one is considered to be a bar das, perhaps there are certain things that they are precluded from making decisions about before the time that they are already old enough to make such a consequential decision in their life. There is a major issue in Eretz Yisrael as well. What should be the age that a person has the right to decide whether or not they want to donate an organ, a live donation, so they want to give a kidney? At what age can a child agree to give away an organ to somebody else? So there was a 15 or 16 year old child whose father needed a kidney, and he said, of course I want to give my kidney to my father. And others said, what do you mean, he's 15 years old? How can he make a decision at 15 whether or not this is something that he's willing to risk? He's not mature enough to really have a proper understanding and to calculate properly how exactly to go about it. And this was a major question. Well, on the one hand, once he's 13 years old, he's considered to be a gadol, and we should say maybe he has the right to make his own decisions. On the other hand, how can you say that he can make such a decision at 13 years old already? That wouldn't seem to make any sense. So let's begin with where the story really begins, and that is the Mishnah Maseches Avos tells us in the fifth parak that when one is 13 years old, they are considered to be a mechuyev b'mitzvos. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we know that at 13 years old a child is already considered to be a mechuyev bedavar? Where does that halacha stem from? This is a major discussion amongst the Rishonim, and there is actually a major lack of clarity with a very big nafka mina between whether we learn it from one source or we learn it from another. So the Rosh has the following suggestion. The Rosh writes, and this is the same opinion as the Shittim Kubetzes, this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, the halacha as well, in Simen Nunhei in Ilchus Tefillah, that the reason why we assume that a child at 13 years old is considered to be a bar mitzvah, is because it is a halacha l'Moshe Mi Sinai. And, says the Rosh, the same way that the Gemara tells us in Masechah Sukkah, that all the shiurim, how do you know that you have to eat a kazayis matzah? And how do you know that on Yom Kippur, if you eat a kakoseves, that's when you violate the Avera? And how do you know that you need to drink a revius in order to violate an Avera of drinking something that is trefer, whatever it might be? How do you know all of these shiurim, says the Gemara? We have a principle. Shiurim chatzitzin umachitzin halacha l'moshe misinai. All the areas of shiurim, whenever we talk about a shiur for a mitzvah or an Avera, or whenever we talk about a chatzitza for mikvah, or when we talk about a mechitza for Erevin, all of those are learned from a halacha l'moshe misinai. Says the Rosh, the same way that a kezayis and a kebetz and a kakosevis and a revius are all halacha l'moshe misinai, they fall under the category of shiurim. So too, says the Rosh, the requisite age for a child to be considered a gadol also falls under that category of shiurim, and we would assume that it is learned from a halacha l'moshe misinai. Again, that is the opinion of the Rosh. Let's see the Rosh inside. Number Aleph, Shesha Alta, you presented the question to me. May I in Lanu, how do we know, to Ben Yud Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad, Hu Bar Onshin? How do you know that once a child is 13 years old, he is considered to be held responsible, Avol Pachos Mikain Lo, but less than 13 years old, we say that he's not a Bar Das yet, and he's not held accountable for whatever it is that he decides to do. Says the Rosh, Da, you should know, Ki Halacha L'Moshe Misinaihu. This is derived from a halacha l'moshe misinai, and it is bechlal hashiurin achatzitzin v'amachitzin shehein halacha l'moshe misinai. The same way that we have shiurim in all other aspects and areas of Torah, and all of those are assumed to be halacha l'moshe misinai, so too over here as well, we assume that this is just a halacha l'moshe misinai. And the Rosh goes on to say that we extend this halacha l'moshe misinai to many other halachos about adulthood and manhood as well. We assume all of that comes from a halacha l'moshe misinai. However, there are a number of Rishonim that disagree with the Rosh, and they say that is not the way that we know that somebody at 13 years old is considered to be a gadol. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shehakol nehiye bidvaro. So a number of Rishonim write that the way that we know that a child becomes a gadol when he turns 13 is because the pasuk says in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayikhu shnei b'nei Yaakov, the two sons of Yaakov Avinu, Shimon and Levi, each went, and the pasuk says, Ish harbo. They both were considered to be adults, they were called Ish, and they each took their swords, and they went to go take revenge against the city of Shechem for what they did to their sister Dinah. Now the Rishonim write, from the fact that the Torah calls them Ish, it must be that when a child turns the age of 13, he's already considered to be an Ish. Now he's considered to be a Gadol, and he's no longer considered to be a minor. So that is what many Rishonim say. Rashi writes that on Maseches Avos, and Tosis writes in a number of places, Kiddushin and Yevamos and Gittin and all the other Masechtos. Tosis writes that we learn from the word Ish that until one is 13 years old, they are not considered to be a Bar Chayuva, they're not considered to be an Ish. But once they are 13, it's considered to be a sign of godless. Now, what is the difference? Who cares? It's a halacha l'moshe misinai, or we learn it from the pasuk of Ish. Either way, once the child turns 13, he's considered to be a gadol. So what nafkamina does it make? So the Chasam Sofer draws a tremendous nafkamina. Writes the Chasam Sofer as follows, and he's responding to the following story that happened in his generation. We have a halacha meseches bechoros. Doesn't come up in America, but in Eretz Yisrael every so often you have a behema hamavakeris. What does that mean? Behema hamavakeris means we have a halacha when you have a Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to bring a bechor, the firstborn animal, you're supposed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and offer it as a carbon. However, nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we still have the Kedushas bechor. When the bechor is going to be born, it will be considered a bechor for all intents and purposes, but we can't do anything with it. So what do we do today? So that's what we refer to as a Behema hamavakeris. When you have a female animal that is pregnant with the firstborn, and we're stuck, we don't know what to do. So the Gemara in Bechoros outlines exactly how one should get around the problem. And the Gemara says you should sell the mother animal to a non-Jew. This way, when the firstborn child is born, it will be born in the property of the non-Jew. And after it's born, then you buy it back, so there's no Kedushas Bechor at the time of the birth. That's what the Gemara says. And by the way, from that Gemara Maseches Bechoros is how we learn the entire process of Mechiras Chametz. The Gemara outlines exactly how you sell an animal to a non-Jew, and from there we learn the process and the procedure of how we're supposed to sell chametz to a non-Jew before Pesach as well. Now, the Chasam Sofer says they had the following issue. There was a farmer in Pressburg, I don't know, or somewhere else, who had a female animal who was giving birth to the firstborn child, and they were concerned about Kedushas Bechor, so they decided to sell it to a non-Jew. They sold it to the non-Jew, the baby was born, the animal was born, and it turns out that this non-Jew was less than 13 years old. He was not yet a bar mitzvah. So what's the halacha? Well, what would be the halacha if I made a transaction with a 10-year-old boy who was a Jew? Obviously, that transaction is not valid because he's not considered a bar das. He doesn't have enough understanding to be involved in business dealings at 10 years old. But when somebody turns a bar mitzvah, then we assume, memkar o memkar, umekhol mekach. If he goes and he buys something from a store, or he makes some sort of business deal, we assume that the deal is valid. So over here, the problem is, they sold the animal to a non-Jewish child, not realizing that he wasn't yet a bar mitzvah, not realizing that he wasn't yet 13, he wasn't yet mature enough. And the question is, what do we do now that the bechor is already born? It turns out that the sale was not valid. Writes the Chasam Sofer, the answer is as follows. If you assume, he says, that this whole halacha of bar mitzvah is learned from a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and it's just a shiurin that the Torah outlines for us, then says the Chasam Sofer, we have a Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. The Rambam writes that a ben Noach is chayiv ala gezel. If a non-Jew steals, he's also going to be held responsible. The same way a Jew would be held accountable for gezel, a non-Jew is held accountable for gezel as well. V'chein chayiv al pachas mishava pruta. Says the Rambam, if a non-Jew steals less than the required amount to be considered a gzela, if he steals less than a shava pruta, we hold him responsible for that as well. Don't we know that a shava pruta is the minimal amount of money that you have to steal in order to be over the iser gzela? Correct? In order to be chayiv and hashava, you're not allowed to steal anything from anyone. But in order to be chayiv, to give something back, you have to steal at least a shava pruta. So why is it by a non-Jew that he already is going to be responsible for less? Says the Rambam, shelo nidnu hashiurim ela liyisrael bilvad. When we have all of these shiurim in the Torah, shava pruta and kezayis and kebetza and revius and everything else, those only apply to a Jew. They do not apply to a non-Jew. Says the Chasam Sofer, based on that Rambam, we should say that if we have a situation where a non-Jewish child is not yet a bar mitzvah, he's not yet 13 years old, maybe if we learn out the whole halacha of 13 from Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that will not apply to a non-Jewish child. And we have a right to assume that as long as he's intelligent enough at 10, 11 years old to make a proper business dealing with us, we have a right to assume that the deal is valid. Tremendous chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Tremendous. However, if you learn that a person is a bar mitzvah because it says ish, and only once he turns 13 that he's considered to be a mature enough adult to be involved in adult conversations, so then we assume that would apply equally whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew until he's 13, he's not considered a bar das, and whatever he has done is not considered to be valid. That is what the Chasam Sofer writes, is the nafkamina between where we learn this halacha from. Again, if we learn it from a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, we assume that that would be something that is only limited to Jewish children. If we learn it from a pasuk in Chumash where it says ish, then we assume that that will carry over both to Jews and non-Jews alike. Now, let us continue. When a child turns 13 years old, and we assume that he's a bar mitzvah, when does he turn 13? So the Gemara always says that it's 13 on a day. Now, what does it mean, 13 on a day? Do we need what we refer to as me'es le'es? Take, for example, a child is born, and we have to do the bar mitzvah, and we have to do the bris on the eighth day. So he's born 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Do we have to wait till 4 o'clock in the afternoon 8 days later? Of course not. Why not? Because we don't need me'es le'es. We say we need 8 halachic days. So once it's on the eighth day, it's already considered the eighth day. He's really not technically 8 days old because he didn't have 8 24-hour time periods that passed since he was born. Doesn't matter. Once the eighth day comes in the morning, you're supposed to do the bris immediately. The only exception to that is when you have a child who is sick. So when you have a child who is cholo kol gufo, and you have to wait 7 days until he has the bris, the halacha says the Rambam is that he has to wait until the doctors gave an okay. You have to wait 7 days from that moment of when the doctor said he's healthy enough to have a bris milah. Why? Why don't you say we should wait 7 halachic days? Very obvious question. What's the answer? It has nothing to do with halacha. Over there, it has nothing to do with halacha. It has to do with the health of a child. So what are you going to say? Oh, once the 7th day comes in, it's already a halachic day. It doesn't matter. We need 7 days to make sure that the child is actually healthy. That means you have to wait 7 actual days from the moment that the child was healthy enough, and you have to make sure that he's healthy enough 7 days later to have the bris done at that time. But in general, we assume by a bris milah that you don't have to wait me'es la'es. You do the bris milah once the 8th day comes in, and once the 8th halachic day comes in, that is good enough. What about by a Sheva Brachos? So a couple gets married Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. When is the last day of Sheva Brachos? Shabbos. Shabbos is the last day of Sheva Brachos. Which, by the way, once we're talking about that, a major shaila that comes up all the time is, people make Shalashudis when the last day of Sheva Brachos is Shabbos, and they don't realize that if you bench after the Shkia, which often we do by Shalashudis, but if you bench after the Shkia, we assume that you're not supposed to say Sheva Brachos at that meal, because now it's already after the Shkia, they're no longer considered a Chasan and Kala. I assume everybody knows that. No, we do not. By Sheva Brachos, we don't say that. By reciting Ritzei and Yalav Yavo, maybe the Acharonim have a machlokas about that also, but generally the assumption is that it depends if your Suda is still lingering, so we assume you have a right to still say Ritzei, even though Shabbos is technically over. When it comes to Sheva Brachos, the assumption is, once the Shkia comes on Shabbos night, and now they're no longer considered to be a Chasan and Kala because the 7th day is over, so you don't recite a Sheva Brachos then. So I remember when we got married on a Sunday, and our last day of Sheva Brachos was a Shabbos, and my mother had wanted to have a Sheva Brachos like normal by Shalashudas, and my father wanted to have not normal. So what do you do? So my father decided that what we were going to do is to make everyone happy, we were going to bench after everybody ate, we're going to bench before the Shkia, and we had all the drushas, instead of being in the middle of the meal, we had them after, and then we benched after all the speeches. So it made everyone happy. Those who didn't want to stay for the speeches weren't stuck by the meal. They were able to leave. And those who wanted to stay, stayed, and then we daven ma'ariv afterward. But anyway, it's a major shaila. But basically what we assume is that Sheva Brachos does not go me'es le'es. We don't assume that if they got married at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, we don't assume that Sunday morning breakfast is already considered to be a Sheva Brachos still because they're within the 7-day period. No, once the 7th day is over, and we assume that their status of Chasan and Kala are over. The Mishnah Berurah does write, there's one place where we're going to be mekel, and that is, if the Chasan shows up to Shul on Sunday morning, so then we're not going to say Tachanun. Okay, we won't say Tachanun. Why? Because he's technically still maybe in the twilight zone, he's still a Shtikal Chasan, he's not finished yet. Until 4 o'clock, we won't say Tachanun. But after that, he's nothing anymore. Now he goes back to being a normal human being. Now he's no longer considered to be this elevated status of being a Chasan and Kala any longer. So, generally, by Sheva Brachos, we assume we don't say Me'es Le'es. By a Bris Milah, we do not say Me'es Le'es. And what would you say by a Bar Mitzvah? Child is born at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When is his Bar Mitzvah? Once the 13th year comes, and now he's 1 minute into the 14th year, so now we assume he's considered to be a Bar Mitzvah, even though technically he has not had 13 years from the moment that he was born. So the Chiddushi Arim, I remember, has a comment. Why is it that the first Mishnah, Meseches Brachos, begins with Me'emas HaKoronas HaShma Be'arvin? Why does it say that the first mitzvah that you're supposed to do is davening Ma'arvin, saying Kriyashma? So writes the Chiddushi Arim, the reason why it's the first is because when a child turns Bar Mitzvah, the first mitzvah that he encounters is the Chiyuv of Kriyashma Be'Laila. Because he becomes a Bar Mitzvah once the nighttime sets in of his 14th year, then we assume he's considered to be a Bar Mitzvah. Now he's mechuyev in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, and that's why the first Mishnah begins with that halacha. Now, we generally assume that a Bar Mitzvah, as we said, is not Me'es La'es, just like a Bris Milah, just like we say the same by a Sheva Brachos, so too a Bar Mitzvah would be the same thing. Look at the Ramah here in our Achaim Siman Nun Gimel. Uvim Mekoma Shalom Nagu Kein. Ein Lekatan Labra Lefnei Teva. A child is not supposed to daven for the Yamin. It's a misleading Ramah, but the Mishnah Berurah will explain, so don't misunderstand. Says the Ramah, a katan should not be over the Fnei HaTeva, afilu b'tfilas arvis. a kata on the night of his bar mitzvah should not daven myra for the yamud. What do you mean? Every bar mitzvah you go to, usually the child is the chazan for his first ma'ariv. He's so excited. It's the first time to be a bar chayuva. So he davens for the yamud. Says the Ramah, no, he's not allowed to. Why not? But we assume he's a bar mitzvah once the night sets in.
The night didn't set in reality. It's only because you're waiting.
What? It's after Tzeis HaKochavim. It's after Tzeis HaKochavim now. Right? No. Oh, so look. So what does he say? Afilu igia lechlau yud gimel shanam yam ha-shabbos. Ein le'espala arvish shal shabbos. Dari adayin ein lo yud gimel shanam. Says the Mishnah Berurah, hold on. Don't make a mistake. The Ramah does not mean to say that he's not a bar mitzvah once nine times sets in. Rice the Mishnah Berurah, Ratza Lomar, what the case that the Ramah is describing here is, Bimekomo shanog in the Spalo shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos mibod yom mishum tosefes Shabbos. If you live in those communities where they make early Shabbos, and the child's bar mitzvah is officially Friday night, and you're davening while it's still light outside, so in that case, says the Ramah, he's not yet a bar mitzvah. Of course he can't daven for the Yamud. But in a regular case, says the Mishnah Berurah, everybody would agree that he has every right to daven for the Yamud on the night of his bar mitzvah because he's already considered to be a gadol. Once the nighttime sets in, he's a gadol for all intents and purposes, and he can certainly be the chazan for the Yamud then. Writes the Navi Yehuda, this is the minig of all of the Achronim, and this is the minig that we have adopted. And he says, this is what the Magen Avram assumes, this is what the Shach and the Sma assume in Chasham Mishpat, this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, this is what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that a child becomes a bar mitzvah the moment of Tzeis HaKochavim, the night of the beginning of his 14th year of life. However, the Netziv quotes a comment of the She'iltos de Rav HaChaygon. Now, Rav HaChaygon was held in very high regard, but the Netziv writes that Rav HaChaygon was of the opinion that he doesn't become a bar mitzvah until the moment that he was born 14 years later. So again, if he was born 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he's not a bar mitzvah until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And in fact, the Netziv writes, had all the other Achronim had the manuscript of the Shiltas de Rav HaChaygon that I have, he said none of them would have disagreed because Rav HaChaygon was Rav HaChaygon. And who would ever have the chutzpah to disagree with him? Everybody would have agreed that a child is not a bar mitzvah until the moment that he was born 14 years later and not at Tzeis HaKochavim the night before. Says the Shiltas, we should be machmer, we should be choshesh for that. And in fact, they quote that there are some brisker families that are machmer for that. And therefore they say, I don't know if it's true or not, they say the Beis HaLevi, some say it was Reb Chaim, some say it was the Brisker Rav, could have been all of them, could have been none of them, I don't know. They say that they used to, if the child was born 3 o'clock in the morning, they would wake him up to say Kriya Shema again at 3 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because he said Kriya Shema when he was not yet officially a gadol according to the Shilta, so you gotta wake him up again. Did the story really happen? I don't know. It sounds ridiculous to me. But maybe it's true. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe if the child was born at 9 o'clock, so you wake him up at 9 o'clock, it's not such a big deal. Wake him up 3 o'clock in the morning sounds a little bit extreme. And they say if the child was born in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah, so he heard Tkiyah Shofar in the morning, but he wasn't yet officially a gadol according to Rav HaChaygon, so they made him go hear Tkiyah Shofar again before Mincha. Okay, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. But generally, the accepted opinion writes in Noda Behuda, we all assume that a child becomes a gadol once the 13th year comes in, and we don't assume that we have to wait until the exact moment of when he was born. Now, the problem with all of this is that we're assuming that a child becomes a gadol once he becomes 13 years old, once he's a ben yud gimel v'yomechad. However, the Gemara seems to say that there's a very different list of criteria that is necessary for a child to be considered a gadol. So we have a Mishnah Meseches Nida. Mishnah writes the following, Tinokes Sheheviyah Shtei Sairus. If you have a young woman who now has hair on her body, so then we say she's considered to be a gedola. So which one is it? Whoa, where'd this come from? Don't we assume a boy once he's 13, a girl once she's 12, is considered to be a gedola? So where's this Mishnah coming from? All of a sudden we have a whole different list of criteria necessary, and all of a sudden now it's going to be based on whether or not there's a physical maturity, whether there's an intellectual maturity of the person. Now all of a sudden things change. So what's this about? So this is not my question. Tosis and Sanhedrin asked the question. Look at number Hey. Tosis says that Yesh Lomar Da'af al pi shebedoros ha'achronim nasnu chachamin simen la'avos ha'sairos. Even though nowadays we say that the assumption is once a child is 13 years old, he already is considered to be a gadol based on his bodily function. However, he says, "Bedoris Arishonim, Shai Memarin Lahavishte Sairos, Hayazman Galdus Mikodem Harbe." Says Tosis, my opinion is that a child was already considered to be a Gadol at 10 years old in the days of the Rishonim. If he was able to have a beard on his face and he was growing hair in certain parts of his body, so we assume he's already considered to be a Gadol, which is amazing. We all assume a Gadol means once he's 13 years old. Says Tosis, not so simple. Maybe we have a right to say that as long as he is a as long as he has the shtei saros and his body is physically matured, maybe that's good enough. So this is a very important and difficult issue because, for example, if you assume, like the Rush said, that all of this is based on a halacha l'moshe misinai, so then what are you going to say? The halacha l'moshe misinai differentiated? What did the halacha l'moshe misinai say? Right, again, the Rush said, halacha l'moshe misinai dictated, 13 years old is considered a bar mitzvah, 12 years old is a bas mitzvah. Well, if that's halacha l'moshe misinai, did the halacha l'moshe misinai also say that if he's 10 years old and he has certain simanim on his body, now he's considered to be a gadol? So how do you fit this all together? Not so simple. It's a very big issue. Not so clear exactly how to take care of that issue at all. However, the Gemara does say in Maseches Brachos a fascinating story. I'm sure many of us have heard of the story of Eli HaKohen and Shmuel HaNavi. What happened? As we know, Shmuel's mother, Chana, could not have a child. And finally, after many, many years of being barren, Chana gives birth to this prize wonder child, Shmuel HaNavi. And she says that she's going to raise him the first 2 years of his life. Once he turns 2 years old, she's going to bring him to the Beis HaMikdash, and she wants that his whole life should be dedicated to serve in the Beis HaMikdash under Eli HaKohen. One fine day, she brings her young son, 2 years old, to the Beis HaMikdash, and what happens? Anybody knows the story? So a whole fight breaks out in the Beis HaMikdash. Who's allowed to do the Shechita, Karban, a whole Shaila? And little Eli HaKohen stands up and he says, a Shechita doesn't have to be done by a Kohen. Even a non-Kohen is allowed to do the Shechita. I'm sorry, that's what Shmuel said. Eli, the Gadol HaDor, Eli standing there. He says, who's this kid? Who do you think you are? So Shmuel says, my name is Shmuel HaNavi. And by the way, I'd like you to know that a non-Kohen is also allowed to do the Shechita. So Eli says to him, you're right. The Psak is really in your favor. However, you're a Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo. You had no right to give a psak in front of the Gadol HaDor, and therefore you're Chayiv Misa. Ask the Ritva, Chayiv Misa, the kid's 2 years old. We know that a person's not a Bar Onshin until Yud Gimel. So give the kid a break. So I don't know why the Ritva doesn't ask, how did he know this? Right? How did Shmuel know this at 2 years old? It's a good question. Right? The art school book that the lights, you know, that the house lit up, it sounds like it actually happened by Shmuel. I don't know. So that's the Ritva's question. How could it be the Gemara says you're Chayiv Misa? How could he be Chayiv Misa? He's a young child. He's 2 years old. What do you want from the kid? You can't be Mechayiv Misa to a child who's 2 years old. Writes the Nadi Yehuda. The answer is Shmuel, obviously, from the fact that he already knew all of Shas when he was 2 years old, and the house lit up when he was born, it must be that Shmuel HaNavi at 2 years old was Sichlo Charif. It means he had the mind of an adult, and it means he was already mature at 2 years old. And therefore he says, although the general requirement for a bar mitzvah is that a person has to be 13 years old, when you're talking about a child who's sichlo charif, so then we'll say that even at a younger age, we should assume that he's already considered to be a gadol. Now that's very dangerous territory to go in. For example, the Balei HaTosfos write on their commentary on Chumash as well. Why were Erev HaOnan punished? If after all, we know at the time they were ketanim, they weren't Yud Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad yet, so why were they punished? Why did they get Misa V'Dei Shamayim? So the Balei HaTosfos say, because they had a tremendous wisdom at a young age. They were already considered a Bar Das when they were less than 13 years old. Now, once you say that, that's a very dangerous thing to do. Why? Because we generally assume, let's say you have a little kid who's playing in the playground, he's 5 years old. He goes over to a little girl and he says, do you want to marry me? Here's a toy. And she says, yes, I would love to be married to you. So does that mean anything? Of course not. Why is it Kiddusha Katan? He doesn't know what he's doing. She doesn't know what she's doing. Obviously, it doesn't work. So the Achronim say, well, why don't you say, every time a child does that, I'm sure it happens every day somewhere. A kid goes over to a boy, goes over to a girl. That's what happens. They talk about this. Why don't you say every single time, Kiddusha Safik? We should go do an investigation, figure out, is the kid really a genius? Does he really have an intellect? Does he have seichel already at 2 years old? And if he does, then maybe this girl needs to get me suffolk at 5 years old. That would be a problem. If we're going to start going down this path, we're going to have a major issue. So here you do find that although generally the assumption is until somebody's 13 years old, they're not considered a mature adult, they're not a bardas enough to make a decision. But sometimes the Rishonim say there are times when we will lower that bar and we will say even less than the requisite shear, we assume that they're already considered a bardas. What about in the other direction? Right? So that's in one direction. Now, let's get back to our question. You have a child who's above the age of bar mitzvah. And above the age of bar mitzvah means you're already considered to be a bardas. So once you're a bar das, doesn't this man actually have a good claim? Doesn't this man actually have a good claim? If you're a bar das for everything else, your mechal shabbos are going to give you the chi of misa, so then why should it be any different here? You're a consensual adult. What's the answer? I think it's a very good question. And in fact, the Gemara has a concept called pitui ketana onasu. The assumption is if a young girl is subjected into a relationship with an older man, the assumption is pitui ketana onasu. Even if she agrees to go along with it, obviously that's considered to be an onus. Why? She doesn't know what she's agreeing to. Even if she says, yes, yes, I want to go along, while she's a ketana, we assume she doesn't want to really go along with this relationship. She doesn't want to do what she's doing. And she's just being forced and coerced by this older person. However, it seems from the Gemara, pitui ketana onasu ends at 12 years old. So let me ask you, you have a 13-year-old girl who is seduced by an older man. Would you say that now she's considered to be a consensual adult? Is that really, seems that's what the Gemara says, but how can that be? The Gemara is not mechalik. The Gemara does not distinguish between a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. They seem to be the same. Once you're an adult, so we assume you're an adult, and if you agree to something, you agree. So this is a major problem. For example,
being like in the business transaction, you didn't know what you didn't know what you're getting. You may have had a transaction. So there's this concept.
No, so the Gemara says once a child is 13 years old, we assume memkar a mekhal mekach. We assume whatever business transactions he does are valid. However, you're bringing up a good point. So the however here is the following: the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, it's true that a child, once he's 12 years old, a girl, or 13 years old for a boy, memkara, mekhl mekach, every business transaction that they're involved in really is valid. However, the Gemara says, when you have somebody who got the nichsei aviv biyerusha, what if my father left me over a property? And the father passed away, and the father says that he wants this property to go to his young child. And now the child becomes an adult, and it goes into his rishus, and he says, you know what, I'm going to start gambling with this piece of property. Let me make a deal here, make a deal there, rent out the property to this one, to that one. Says the Gemara, no. Eino mocher b'nichsei aviv ad sheyehe ben esrim. He does not have a right to sell the Yerusha from his father, the property that he got from his father, until he's 20 years old. Why? Why not? So you see from the Gemara, the assumption is that because this is a weightier decision, it's not like I'm going to buy something in the store and I give money and I therefore get something in exchange. That's regular business. But when you're taking the Yerusha from your father, when you're taking the property that was given over to you, that was entrusted to you, and now you're going to go and sell it off, we don't have the right to trust a child at 15 years old that he's going to do the right kind of deal. This is much bigger than him. He's not mature enough to make that kind of decision. And therefore we assume, ad sheyehe ben esrim, until he's 20 years old, he's not considered mature enough to be able to properly make that decision and come to the right kind of conclusion. And therefore, even if he goes ahead and he does sell it, mekho batel. We say that retroactively everything is not recognized at all, and none of that is valid in halacha at all. That's what the Gemara says. Now the Shach extends that and he says, this doesn't apply only to a child who gets a piece of property from his father. The Shach writes that it means if he gets a business from his father as well, we assume that this is something that's much weightier than a regular business transaction, and therefore, we assume he doesn't have a right to start investing in that business or making any changes to the business, Because he's not old enough to understand. He has to wait until he's 20 to make that decision. So how far do we take this? So if the Gemara was written in our generation, what would they say? What would they say? You have to wait until 20 to make what kind of decisions in life? A kid at 15 years old wants to donate his kidney to a relative. So does he have a right to make that decision? What would you say? What would the Gemara say if it was written today? Would you say that's too weighty of a decision for a 15-year-old to make? He doesn't understand all of the risks. He doesn't really understand how dangerous it is. He doesn't understand anything. He's doing it because it sounds like a nice thing to do, and he's a kind-hearted person. He doesn't really understand what's involved in the procedure or what the healing process is going to be. So would the Gemara say that a child has to wait until 20 for that as well? Is donating a kidney the same as selling off all of his father's properties? It's a very, very tough decision to make. Where do you draw the line?
Now you're making it subjective. You'd give him all of it one day is an objective thing. 13
for everyone.
That's
right. Right, that's what I'm saying. This becomes very complicated. So now what?
Complicated if you start adding in,
other factors.
Right.
Right, so let's see. So what I find fascinating here is Rabbi Asher Weiss has told me on many occasions that there are discussions in the Pinkas HaKihilos. In Europe, they used to have, Rabbi Asher Weiss told me that he heard this from Professor Rackover. He said he didn't do the research, but Professor Rackover used to come to his shir every week, and he was a big Talmud Chacham, Professor Rackover also, but he did the historical research. He dug up these things in the Pinkas HaKihilos in Europe. What's a Pinkas HaKihila? They had certain communal understandings, certain rules of the community that everybody agreed to. So look at this over here. You have number one, Pinkas Medinas Lita. In Lithuania, this was the understanding of the community. Listen carefully. Bachar asher einenu ben shmona asar shanim. If you have a child who's not yet 18 years old, so obviously he's already above bar mitzvah, and he's an adult who can make his own decisions, but he's not yet 18 years old. She yischatein bezivug b'liyadiyas aviv o krovav. And he decides to get engaged to a girl and he plans his own wedding without the agreement of his parents. His parents don't want him to marry this girl. His parents aren't happy about the shidduch. So the halacha is, this was the understanding in all Lithuania, ein b'maisav klum. Amazing. So even if he goes ahead, marries the girl, lives together with her, she's not a neshes ish. Your marriage is batel. Look at the next line. Shtarchov shel bachar. If you have some sort of check that was signed by a young man, asher yaseh b'li yedias aviv. He has a checkbook, and on the check it has his father's name. He's not old enough to have his own bank account, but it has his name and his father's name. And he goes ahead and he signs a check out to someone. Shtarchov says the Pinkas HaKehila, and he does it without his father's consent. O krovav, ein bo mamish, we don't pay attention to such a check. But what do you mean? He's already a gadol. He's over 13 years old. And we generally assume that when a 13-year-old becomes a bar das, as he becomes a bar mitzvah, so now he's memkara memchar, and makom mekach, and everything that he does works. But the communal understanding in Europe was, come on, who are you kidding? A 13-year-old kid does not know how to make responsible decisions when it comes to writing out a check. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't understand that money is not to play around with like this. Maybe in the times of the Gemara that was the case. But today a 13-year-old is not responsible enough to do that. And therefore they had a communal understanding and agreement that if you ever find a check that is signed only by the child without the haskama of his father or his mother or whoever is in charge, he does not have any validity to such a document and you can just disregard it. Now that's not such a chiddush. The bigger chiddush is with regard to the getting married. What does it mean? If this woman goes ahead, marries this young man who's 17 years old, right? They fell in love, they got married, ran away from their parents, and now she goes ahead and is zinsa tachtav. She goes ahead and has an affair with someone else. And now she has a baby from that other man. The child should be a mamzer. She's an eshes ish. And yet, because of our communal agreement, because of our understanding, so we would say, Mervata l'kiddushin. It's like it didn't happen. So I mentioned this to my father the other day. He said he once saw it. So he said he thought that the understanding of this communal agreement was not that we're Mervata l'kiddushin l'mafreya, just to hocus pocus. It doesn't work that way. The way it works is we have an understanding that no one is allowed to do such a thing because a kid at 17 is not allowed to get married against his parents' wishes. Doesn't make sense. He shouldn't do that. And therefore, no one has a right to be an aide at such a kiddushin. If you went ahead and you went and served as an aide at such a wedding, you were a pasul aide because you were Russia. That's the way my father said he understood the halacha. It's not that lemafreya were okay the kiddushin because we figured out something, but rather he said what it means is that it never got off the ground because the aidim that you set aside to administer this wedding had no right to be the aidim because they knew it was the wrong thing to do, and therefore they are rishayim because they're setting up a situation for a disaster. In a case like that, an aid who's a Russia is not considered a kasher aid, so the kiddushin never happened. So this is a chiddush, but what you see is, the reason why I mention this is, because you see that there's a precedent for this. You see that in a case where there's something that's far more consequential, when there's something that's far more delicate than a young child's mind is able to understand or able to make the right decision for, there is already a precedent in the Gemara, and there's already a precedent in the Minhag Elita, where they said that we would assume that a child has to wait until he's older than 13 years old. 13 is not mature enough to make a decision about getting married, to make a decision about selling your parents' property, and certainly in our case, I would say, you're not old enough to make a decision about whether or not you're a consensual adult to be involved in a relationship like this. Even if at 15 years old, he may have been a bar das already for certain things, you're not enough of a bar das to agree to go do something wrong with this older man. And therefore, perhaps, if you just go along with this logic, again, it might be a little dangerous to do this because you can say it for many things. I would say a 13-year-old child is not mature enough to understand what Shabbos is about either. So maybe we shouldn't give him the Chi of Misa. So it's difficult. Where do you draw the line? It's not so simple. But the point being that there's already such an idea in Halacha. The Gemara already discusses it. The question is just, how far do we take it? If the Gemara was written in our generation, if the Gemara was written in our days, what would the Gemara have said? Where would we make the cutoff for 20 years old? And when would we say that a child at 13 does not have a right to make a decision for himself because he's simply not mature enough to make this decision that carries so much gravity and so much weight, and the consequences are so heavy for whatever it is that he will decide to do? So that's just something that I thought was a